This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
I don't know. It might have been some of my best work. I feel like at some point.
You spit high five. I mean, now when people start rubbing your forearm, it's on you.
Well, I mean, you don't get all these tattoos without wanting people to notice them, right? Like, that's just part of life. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. And, of course, on your smart speaker, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz in for Alan Hahn today. I'm basically Luke Skywalker hanging out with Bart Scott. And we're going to get you guys all ready for the draft. And we'll bring on an expert in just a minute. But before we do that, some of you are hanging on. We want you guys to be part of the show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Richard in Manhattan. Richard, what you got? Thanks for calling the show.
Thank you, Jason. Bart, now you guys got to be specific in answering this question. In the top 25 picks tonight, four of the 25 come from Duke. Four. None come from North Carolina. None. Yet, when they played each other twice within a week in the NCAA, well, one was the last game of the year, the other was the tournament, North Carolina won both times. Can you explain that to me?
Well, I mean, I can only explain to you from covering college basketball this year, which I did extensively on our digital shows. Duke was supposed to be one of the most talented teams in the country, and they did not gel together for much of the season. It took forever for Duke to play with any level of plan or urgency. And I think that they thought Banchero was going to come in day one and be a dynamic, absolute, oh my God, guy that you could rely on. And it took a while for him to get his footing. I don't know why it took him a while to get his footing, but they did not play with any sort of sense of what they were trying to accomplish offensively for most of the year. North Carolina was a far better team, right, even though Duke is more talented.
And that's what happened. You know what I mean? And that's what happens, especially in collegiate sports. It's about who can play well together, who can assume their roles. And those may not be the roles that you assume when you're a pro. You know, how many times have we seen a guy average like 12 points in college and then go out and just be dynamic and average 20 in the league? Like, yo, why can't he do this in college? Totally different game.
I thought this was a really disappointing year for Duke on the court because of the expectations we had coming into the year for Duke and the talent that they had. And that's just going to happen sometimes, too. When you're constantly running guys in a one-and-done year, we've talked about that with Kentucky over the last few years, too. Like, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. There's no easy path.
That's why when you get to tournament time, usually the teams that have older players that have been together and maybe less talented are able to go on a run because they've played with each other.
All right, let's take Jacob in the Bronx. You guys can chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jacob, what you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? I think the Knicks should draft Chet Holmgren and go after Colin Sexton. Chet Holmgren, he's like Andre Kirilenko. He's a team player, and I think they could put him at the three and allow his length to take advantage of the guys shooting three-point shots all the time. So I think the Knicks should go after him and go after Colin Sexton. Peace.
Well, how do you get up that high? You're talking to go. You're getting up two. You're calling OKC. And OKC has a million picks. What are you gonna do? Give them some of your future picks? They got like 30,000 picks.
And not only that, there's two things that I think are important to point out. Holmgren only worked out for Orlando and Oklahoma City. Those are the only two teams that he even worked out for. So if you're the Knicks, you'd be hitting them blind. That which doesn't make a lot of sense to me in the grand scheme of things. I think that feels a little. It feels a little weird to me. The other part of it is, to your point, Oklahoma City's only sales pitch, and this was something I asked on radio a couple of years ago when they were trying to figure out what to do. One of the questions I asked, I think it was Royce Young at the time that was covering Oklahoma City. I said, look, what's the cost of relevance in the NBA? Because there are times that you got to look at it and say, hey, I will overpay. I'll max contract somebody just to get a relevant storyline going so that we're not buried. And Oklahoma City didn't get a lot of choice. Suddenly they became irrelevant. The only thing that they can truly sell their fans part is like, hey, don't worry, we're going to draft so well that in a year or two, this team will be relevant. Like, everybody's looking at something like Memphis right now and saying, hey, there's power in drafting the right way and being patient and developing because it's the only thing you can sell. Like, I don't know what you'd be selling your fans if you traded out of the number two spot right now.
And they were the originators of that, right? Weren't they the originators of, you know, building from within? When you think about James Harden, you think about Serge Ibaka, you think about – you know, Kevin Durant, Westbrook, and then they kind of lost their way. So I mean, I feel like they're like Danny Ainge right now. Like, okay, you got a lot of picks. Now, where are the big moves? Where are we going to see you start making a push, you know, to be able to move up to get some guys? But I did like his other part of his question or his statement when you talk about, you know, Sexton, because I think that could be a consolation prize. You know, he's a guy that's not panned out. I mean, Darius Garland has become a star for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So let's see if Colin Sexton is available. He wasn't healthy last year, but let's see this year, because he's a guy that brings that defensive Thibodeau type of mentality. It could be a solution. I don't want them to get, you know, too desperate and give up too much money for Jalen Brunson or do something out of desperation. You know, Colin Sexton could be somebody that could work.
That's the – what you just said is such a smart part of what we have to remember when it comes to franchise development. I don't care what the sport is. Like, as fans, we live in this, like, video game world where it's like, let's go out and make a trade, pay whatever it takes, and get these things done. For reality's sake, from the organization standpoint, sometimes you got to look at it and be like, hey, just because we need certain players right now, a need, certain positions filled, doesn't mean we should mortgage the future to overspend on somebody that isn't worth overspending on. It's like the thing I say going into the NFL draft this year, stay away from the quarterbacks. In my mind, there was not a single quarterback I would have drafted in this year's NFL draft high at all, because you're taking a risk you don't need to take, and that sets your organization back. Like, there's a level of patience for all of it.
Yeah, let's not act like we're in the airport where, listen, we have to pay max dollars inflation because they don't allow us to bring any drinks into the building past the security point line. So, hey, man, let's calm down. Let's wait till we get our destination. We get off the plane. We can go to 7-Eleven and save 10 cents on the dollar.
I promise you, Bart Scott, I will steal that analogy next year in the draft when I'm covering it for us. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can help you protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, and RV, and more. And if something wasn't mentioned that you had in mind, find out if it can be covered. All you got to do is go to progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, because it probably can be. One thing, we'll keep you updated on the draft. We'll continue to get some expertise there. You guys can continue to chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart, I'm going to confess something to you. I already confessed that I shaved my arms. I'm going to confess something.
What are you, Usher today? What the hell's going on?
You know what? I feel like right now it's just me and you, just two buddies talking. I realized yesterday I'm stupid. Like, I'm just an idiot. I'm a moron, because I watched congressional hearings for hours, hours, and I watched all of these congressmen just absolutely drilling Roger Goodell, which I thought I was going to take tremendous joy in, because I've always wanted somebody to really get to ask the difficult questions to Roger Goodell. And I found myself, I even tweeted it out at one point, like, is this the way these things always work? You get 5 minutes and you got congressmen spending the first, and women, spending the first 90 seconds of it saying, I'd like to thank the committee. I'd like to thank everybody for letting us speak. I'd like to thank Mr. Goodell. And then setting up the topic over and over again. I'm like,
We get it. Wrap it up, B. We get it. Wrap it up.
What are we doing? And so I tweeted out. I was like, is this the way these things always work? And I had several friends text me and say, maybe I should spend a little more time watching the news, because apparently that's the way it goes. My mind was blown. It was a painful look for the NFL yesterday, because Roger Goodell didn't have a lot of answers, but it was also a painful watch for me.
I mean, how about start subpoenaing? Yeah, subpoena, yes. Drop the subpoena on, you know, some of these owners, because really Roger Goodell works for them. So he's doing what they say doing. I mean, Dan Snyder have his damn court. You know, I bet you he'll get his ass from Greece or wherever he is floating around in this mega yacht, you know, to answer these questions. But, man, I think this thing, we're headed for like a few good men type of territory, man. You want the answer? I want the truth. Like, I can't wait to Dan Snyder start dropping dimes on everybody. He's going to be like Nino Brown in New Jack City. Or if I'm going down, I'm taking a whole lot of people with me. Because you know, hey, and John Gruden's right there with him. Like, hold up, you think I wrote those emails? You don't think nobody replied to them? Where's the reply to those emails? Because you might go back and say, hey, the initial start was started by somebody else, and I just added in. So it's going to get real, man. It's going to get a lot uglier before it gets all right. And I think those owners are scared to death. That's why you don't hear them saying anything. That's why we haven't heard a vote. I mean, we saw the Panthers have to be sold when everything came out from Richardson. So let's see what happens when this come out. But I think, listen, this thing has legs, and it's going to go a lot farther than we think. And I think that's what is scaring the current owners to death.
One thing that really hit me when college football started going through a change a couple of years ago with all the name, image, likeness stuff, and it started to go to legislation. And I said frequently at the time, the bullies are getting bullied. Because for years, the NCAA could go to all the athletes and say, well, you don't have a choice. You're going to do what we tell you to do. And all of a sudden, then legislation in states came in and laws were enacted. And it was like, hey, guys, NCAA, you don't have a choice. You're going to do what we tell you to do. And they weren't used to being in that situation. And I kept thinking of that yesterday, watching Roger Goodell and realizing, to your point, you know, Dan Snyder, one of the committee members has said they are going to subpoena him and they want him to come in and speak. And I'm watching Roger Goodell not have answers for so many different things and really try and avoid those answers. But it's easy to avoid an answer if you're being interviewed by me or you, if you're Roger Goodell. You can't just avoid all of the truth when it's going to Congress. And that's to your point with John Gruden, like people may not be paying attention, but last month he won in a Nevada court. They were trying to move it to arbitration. It's not being moved to arbitration. John Gruden wants it to go
I
to court.
Trial. Yeah.
Like it's going to become
it's
all of
out,
this dirty
yeah.
laundry is going to come flying out, man.
And I think you think the image of some of these organizations and these people are going to be forever damaged, right? Because that why you think John Gruden doesn't want it to be, no, you're not about to silence me in the middle. You can't buy me. Guess what? I've made over $100 million. Hell, I was making $6 million for about 15 years and sitting up in the booth with ESPN, and then I was making plenty of money as a coach. I was on a $100 million contract. Like, you can't silence me. Because John Gruden understands this. They took the one thing away from him that money could never buy him, and that's access, right? So now he'll never be part of that 20th anniversary team that's going to go to Tampa Bay and be celebrated with Warren Sapp and all the guys that he won the championship with. He's not going to be a part of any football organization. He can't be associated with Pop Warner with the things that he said. Like Little League football, nothing. They took his life away. And deservedly so, because you have to be held accountable and responsible for the words that you say, because you never know. Like Herm ever say, don't push sin. Don't push sin on your emails, because you never know. You're trusting a person on the other end not to save them, right? But now with the same thing with Snyder, right? He tried to have his shadow investigation. It really was a ops type of detail to get dirt on everybody else. So if he goes down, he got the ammunition to say, you support me, right? Because I got you right here on page 274 talking about this or talking about that.
I mean, that's the part of it. Barton Hahn, Bart Scott, Jason Fitz in for Hahn on ESPN Radio. The thing I keep thinking when everybody's like, what's it gonna take to fire Dan Snyder? The difficulty on that is, what does Dan Snyder have on, and I'm not going to use any specific owner. Yeah. I don't want to even create that world. But like, every other owner, what correspondence does he have? What skeletons are in the closet for other owners for other teams that don't want that stuff revealed? And that's where it becomes very complicated, because even if you are looking around and saying, my God, this is such a black eye for the league, yeah, I don't want to deal with this, you don't really have a choice. And if you're Roger Goodell, it got contentious. This is one of his question answer moments when he was asked about the conduct specifically of the Washington Commanders.
I have not seen a workplace in the NFL that is anywhere near what we saw in the context of that period of time for the Washington Commanders.
Yes or no, are you willing to do more?
Yes, of course I'm willing to do more. I never said that we were going to stop. I actually said the opposite.
But
we
you
will
have the
continue.
Authority to recommend that Dan Snyder be removed as a team owner.
Okay,
you can recommend that
the gentlelady's time has expired. The gentleman may answer her question. Your time has expired. You may answer her question. Should Dan Snyder be removed?
I think I'm good.
Remove him. Will you remove him?
I don't have the authority to remove him, Congresswoman.
Thank you. He's my boss.
That's...
You know what? You know what? Norby, you're fired. Norby, sabbatical. Norby, you're fired right now. Yeah. Give me a raise.
I don't have that NFL money. No, Norby, you are not fired. Like, let me be very clear. Norby, you are hired.
And what in what world does an employee fire their boss? Like, he doesn't have the authority. It has to be pressure from 24 other owners. So, Congress, if you want Dan Snyder removed, you better put the pressure on them. Subpoena them to come in and speak. Why isn't Roger Goodell, if Roger Goodell recommends that he be removed and be forced to sell the team, would you guys support that? That is the only way. that Roger Goodell can be able to have the authority and the power to fire his boss.
And that's why this is a message people hate to hear as fans. And I understand it. I get it. But if you ever want change in any way, shape, or form in the NFL, Roger Goodell is not who you should be looking at. The reason Roger Goodell makes so much money is because he's great at one important thing, playing the villain. Right? Like, we look at Roger Goodell and we'll yell at him about everything that's wrong. But realistically, that, like, I'm a Raiders fan. If I really want change in the NFL, I should be yelling at Mark Davis, not at Roger Goodell, because Mark Davis is the only person that can actually do it. He is literally just, he is a shield that the owners can stand behind, and they don't have to answer any questions. He'll answer all of them vaguely, and all of a sudden, you end up with a situation where he becomes the battering ram, and everybody else is bulletproof, and that's the way it works.
After this, watch Roger Goodell get a raise. Like, hey man, way to take them. Yeah. Way to go. He out there like Kyle Lowry. They trying to get him. He just stepping in, taking charges on everybody. Yes. Oh, that one caught me in the groin. It's okay. I can still go. Like, I mean, it's just one of those things, and people have to realize that. And that's like also when they want, like, oh well, we want change as far as from a sports perspective in our local communities. Well, nobody has more power than that local billionaire that works there. So if anything you want done, you talk about these athletes stand up for what's right. Nah, you got to convince these owners of these teams to step up, because there's way more power with 32 billionaires that have businesses that flourish outside of their ownership of the team to be able to invoke change.
And the only thing that will ever force those billionaires to actually make change is when they start losing money, which means fans, people like me, would have to stop spending money. And like,
nobody
that just doesn't happen.
Nobody show up to the Commanders games and watch what happened. And when I say nobody, I mean nobody.
Nobody show up to it. Nobody turn it on. Nobody buy a single piece of gear.
Yes.
Nobody look at any of the licensing stuff. Like, nobody find a way to.
And he will step down. He will step down because he understands, let me step down because I still have some ownership here. Let me step down, step away, and I'll still collect my money. The gig is up.
Yeah. And every time somebody says, oh, the NFL will never rebound from this, I always laugh because at the end of the day, it's in the blood of so many of us. Like,
it's a gladiator sport. It's a gladiator sport like boxing. They love the guts, the physicality. America's built on this ever since the Roman days.
I'm smart enough to know I shouldn't, but my whole week is changed by whether the Raiders win or lose. That's real for so many people, right? Like, and
we should
long
be getting some high productivity from you as long as they're not playing it within their division.
it's too early to start that talk, all right? Like, at least I'm not a Pistons fan. Okay, speaking of the Pistons, we'll get back to the NBA, although we'll try to avoid that trash team. We're going to bring in a former coach to help us make sense of the NBA draft, unless Bart kills me during the break, which is also possible. And we'll also get some other hot NBA stories in there. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han. Spartan Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and of course on your smart speakers. I'm Jason Fitz, sitting in for Alan Han. Sitting with Bart Scott. So you can usually have, if you're having a good time with me, you can have a good time with Sarah Spain and I, usually on Spain and Fitz from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. We're going to get you caught up on everything you need to know regarding the draft with some expertise at this point. And to do that, somebody that we regularly have on Spain and Fitz, one of our favorites, P.J. Carlissimo, joining us, ESPN NBA analyst, part of the ESPN Radio NBA draft team. And P.J., always appreciate your time, my friend. We were talking about this earlier, but it feels like given the limited body of work that we have on so many college players, it's incredibly difficult to actually evaluate tape on guys when they're going into the NBA. So what, in your mind, is the trick to figuring out who a prospect can be?
Jace, that's a hell of a question. That's what the GMs and all the front office people make money doing, and it's hard. I mean, I liken it back to when I was in college for 23 years, trying to figure out what guys, you know, what they can be coming out of high school. But the better news now, as opposed to way back when I was coaching, there's more teams playing against each other because so many guys now, particularly the elite players, play for USA Basketball. They play in these international competitions. AAU is much bigger. And that's a bad term because, I mean, it's really not what we thought of years ago as AAU. But let me call it outside basketball. There is so much of travel, and there's so much of these young players, again, particularly the elite ones, playing against each other. They jump from high school to high school. But the truth is you have a lot of opportunities to see them. Now, a lot being a relative term. So you do see these guys against each other, but you're still projecting on what they're going to be down the line. I mean, just think back. You and I were talking with Sarah, and Bart's partner, Alan's got to carry us tonight on the draft coverage. But there were so few rookies were impact players in the playoffs this year. A combination of two reasons. The main reason, these elite players are drafted by teams that aren't very good or they wouldn't be drafted on top of the lottery right now. Every once in a while, you get a good one sneaks up there because of a trade or a different circumstance. So you're not going to see a lot of these guys in the playoffs, and they're not going to have a big impact in terms of what's really going on in the NBA for a while. So you're betting on what's going to happen down the line. And the ultimate one is you look at somebody like Chet Holmgren, who's probably from Gonzaga, who's probably going to go number two and is even thinner than KD was when Kevin came out of Texas and played for us back in 07-08 in Seattle. But at the same time, even I could figure out, I think it took me about 3 minutes of the first summer league practice, and I'm sitting in the stands watching. Rick Barnes had told me, the Texas coach at the time, how good he was, and watched for like 3 minutes and said, okay, I can figure this one out. This guy is going to be a great player. I wish we had tapes of it, because I remember talking to some of the beat writers and the local people, and they said, how good is he? And I'm usually not one to put that on a young guy. And I said, well, he's going to be a multiple-time all-star, you know, maybe 8 or 10 times he's going to be a starter. He's going to be a huge player in the league. Well, let's skip ahead. I didn't champion, Hall of Famer, all the things he accomplished. That was an easy one to figure out. And some of the guys on top of the draft this year are that same thing, but it's the ones further down the line that are just a lot, frankly, a lot more of a challenge to figure out. Giannis was drafted 15. Draymond Green was drafted 35. Jordan Poole was 28. Manu Ginobili was a stash, but he was at 57. They stashed him over in Europe, but the Spurs knew how good he was. Nikola Jokic was a 41 pick for Denver. So that's the art of this thing, to, you know, imagine what somebody is going to be in the future. And then on top of that, he's got to fit in with a particular team. So many really great players in the NBA have struggled in their first team, sometimes their first two teams, until they get with the team where it makes sense. Andrew Wiggins is a pretty good example. Not that he wasn't a good player at Minnesota, but, you know, everybody's, well, he's the number one pick. What's he going to be? What's he going to be? Well, he looks pretty damn good in Golden State, and it took a while for him to find the right teammates, the right system that suited him. And that's why that's a, as usual with me, a real long answer to how hard it is to project what these young guys are going to be in the future.
I mean, I would add Chauncey Billups to that list as well. You know, me being a Pistons fan.
Great call. Yeah, great call.
But don't encourage his Pistons. He's always working at a Pistons angle.
But you know, like the position that is dominating the game right now are the wings. Is it some dominant? How is the crop of wings as far as from a position standpoint within this draft? Can you find a quality wing later in the draft?
Yeah, I think you can, and some of them are just bigger. I mean, you're right, and, you know, you say wings right away. I think what jumps into a lot of people's minds, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, look at those two guys and what they did. They had Boston in the, you know, the finals this year, and forget what happened, why it happened, all that. But the difference now, these wings are even bigger. Jabari Smith is 6'10". He's a wing. He may very well be a 3-and-D. He's an unbelievable shooter, and he's a really, really good defender. May not be great putting the ball on the floor right now, but he's a wing at 6'10". Chet Holmgren may very well be a wing at 7 foot or whatever the hell he is, because he handles the ball so well, he shoots it so well, and even though he's 7 feet, and you look at some of the other guys, Keegan Murray and some of the players down the line, you know, there's guys that were with the G League Elite this year. You know, what's Klay Thompson? There's so many of these guys are they twos, are they threes? And that's where the wing term has come from. Some of the young ones, I love Blake Wesley at Notre Dame this year. Had him a couple times in the NCAA tournament. He's only 6'5". People probably say, well, he's a guard, he's not a wing. But some of these guys are going to end up just there, out on the wing, and really doing both. You know, like handling the ball. If they happen to get a rebound, they're going to bust it up the court themselves. That's what Holmgren's unbelievable. When he gets a rebound, he just leads the fast break. And it's not like it's a big guy you're saying, give it to a guard. You probably don't have a guard who can handle it or pass it or shoot it as well as he does. So I think there's going to be wings. I think there's good ones in the draft, but they're big. They're so big, it's unbelievable. I mean, the league is just stretching out. If anything, it's getting taller. It's getting more athletic. And, you know, I laugh, Bart, because people don't think of it in basketball terms. In some other sports like swimming or track and field, you know, they got young guys and girls now breaking Olympic records that were set 30 or 40 years ago, sometimes crossed. You know, like a female athlete now swimming or running the times that Olympic athletes ran 20, 30, 40 years ago. The same thing's happening in basketball. It's just harder to quantify. We just have now bigger, stronger, quicker athletes than we've ever had playing this game. Doesn't mean they're all better. You know, it doesn't mean that Will Chamberlain would struggle if he was playing now, or Kareem, or some of the really special people. But I got news for you. This game is being played way higher above the rim now, way longer in terms of the shooting ability and the skills that these players have. And they are just bigger, stronger, quicker athletes than we had playing the game years ago. Like LeBron is like Jimmy Brown was in football years ago. And it doesn't necessarily translate like, well, he runs a time, you know, faster than has ever been run. But believe me, the game is a different game because of the athletic ability of so many of these players.
You can listen to him tonight on ESPN Radio as part of the NBA draft team. As always, PJ, appreciate you. I know you got a long night ahead of you. We appreciate you hanging out with us.
I'm going to start calling you Professor PJ.
All right, good being with you. Alan better be ready to carry us tonight. Corey Alexander and I need him to carry us tonight. So put a call in to him. Let him know what the deal is.
We call that footprints. He's loading up on Manuka honey right now.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, PJ. We appreciate you. You know, and Bart, you made this point earlier, but I think it's worth echoing again quickly here. There's no salary cap space across a lot of the NBA.
Yeah.
And they pointed out on the ESPN Daily earlier this week that there are teams that are looking at this year's draft as a replacement for free agency because there aren't the names or the money out there to make big sweeping changes. So you're going to have to hit home runs. And hitting home runs in replacement of the draft is going to be particularly difficult to do, or in this draft is going to be particularly difficult to do because there are so many question marks in this draft.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. That's why you see guys, and you know, everybody before you know it, you know, 2023 will be here and people won't have to go to college at all. They'll just be coming out straight from the pros. Let's see what happens with the G League and everything like that.
Yeah, well, that is some Straight Talk. And speaking of Straight Talk, try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. There is nothing that can vary when it comes to Arch Manning. He is headed to Texas. What does it mean for the future of college sports? We'll answer that next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
I don't know what was more fire, the social media reaction last night to the game-winning goal for the Colorado Avalanche over the Tampa Bay Lightning in overtime and the possibility of too many men on the ice, or P.K. Subban's just suit this morning, which was sensual, Bart. I don't know if you have a thought here, but, you know, the entire world blowing up about the fact that there were too many men on the ice. And, you know, it could have been called. It could have not been called. Yeah, you good on. With it?
I mean, did too many men on the ice stop the goal? Like, were they headed off the ice? Like, it's always a gray area. Like, don't cry over spilled milk. The reality is that the Avalanche looked like the fresher team when they got into the overtime, and they had so many more shots on goal. And, you know, they did a great job in blocking some of those, but eventually something's going to get through. The fresher team won. The better team won, because tired talent makes cowards of us all. Fatigue makes cowards of us all. And clearly the fatigue team, the team that had battled attrition, was the Tampa Bay Lightning.
So I agree with everything you just said. Let me add a caveat, though. The one thing that I think is a takeaway from it, I don't think it should have impacted the goal per se, but like, why is that not reviewable? When the NHL came out and said, sorry, it's not reviewable.
We don't want that.
Why? Like, a game-winning goal should always be reviewable. Like, they should be able to do whatever they want on a game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup final. Like, but let's just make life simple. Review everything on a game-winning goal in a Stanley Cup final.
But when you slow it down for people, then it's going to make people be able to have different opinions, and you know that the umpire, the referee, is going to go with the call that kind of stood, because he's going to say, yeah, I could call it, but I didn't call it, so if I would have called it, it would have stayed no matter what. Nothing's going to change. So why delay it, and why put people and referees in that situation where it's subjective what the real truth is? Because they didn't call it. Maybe another team would have called it.
Thoroughness. Thoroughness is why you do it. I mean, like, when you were a kid, if you walked out in the out of your room and you said, Mom, I cleaned my room, did your mom just take your word for it, or did she go in there and check it?
Because later when she come in and she check it and I ain't do it, I knew I was gonna get the brakes beat off of.
Oh my God, that is
yeah.
Fact.
Go pick your own switches.
That is fine.
That is an old practice, man. That, you know, you talk about all these athletes got it better because they were born later. Like, I wish I was born later. Like, going to pick your own switch. Like, why would I want to go pick something that you gonna beat me with?
Oh, my mom used a pizza paddle. That was like, we didn't pick a switch. She just grabbed the pizza paddle and went for it. So that was.
You're playing Pong on your ass.
I mean, you laugh one time at a spanking from mom, and that's what you get. Again, I feel like I've made America uncomfortable, so you're welcome for that. That's what we do here on Barton Hahn when I'm filling in. Woo! It's Barton Hahn. I don't know, the music felt like I should whisper it. On ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and of course on your smart speakers. I am not Hahn. I'm Jason Fitz, filling in for Hahn, hanging out with the great Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll get in a second to the impact on college football, but I have to ask Bart something that we were just talking about during the break. You know, how when you were a kid, you had to pick your own switch, right? Mm-hmm. And like, my mom used to spank me with a pizza paddle, but you had to pick your own switch. I always wondered, what happened if you did not pick a sufficient switch?
Because if she got to go out there and pick it. Now, I got to burn calories to go get it. So now I'm going to go ahead. And then they would braid them together. Like, see, the key was to get one that was kind of old and kind of – it could be big, but it wasn't as ripe. So it'd break. You know what I'm saying? So if it break, then she mag, and then she might pull the house shoe off and whoop you with the house shoe.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? So, like, she go out there, get that moist one, and braid it together. It's like a little whip.
And then
ultimately, how I always got out of act like she hit me in my private part. Ah, you hit me! Ah! Then they'd be like, that's uncomfortable for a parent, especially for a mom. Like, oh, God, I think I castrated my son.
I don't think my mom would have bought that at all.
I
tried that. Yeah, that's different. But I will say, like, now that these home pizza ovens are all the rage and everybody's got pizza paddles everywhere, I'm like, I can't handle that. Like, yeah, y'all ain't getting no.
PTSD,
there's
man.
No chance of pizza paddles coming into my house ever. There we go. Barton Hahn. I'm Jason Fitz filling in for Alan Hahn and sit with Bart Scott. Arch Manning. We talked about this earlier, Bart. Arch Manning heads to Texas.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody was trying to get him. Nobody made a secret of it. Lane Kiffin only followed one person, and that was Arch Manning on Twitter. Alabama, Georgia, you can go up and down the list. Everybody has tried to get Arch. He's decided to go to Texas. He'll be there in 2023. I think this puts a tremendous amount of pressure on Texas. It makes a lot of sense in the sense that Texas is going into the SEC, wants to prove they can compete with everybody. But, man, that's going to be an expectation from day one. But you are a believer that this has a rippling impact to all of college football.
It does, because when you look at it right now, what it's saying is, now, some teams can go out and spend frivolously and just irresponsibly, but ultimately you got to pay the piper, right? Because you only can pay so much money out there. So now it makes other teams that have these NIL deals that they're going to have to make sure that they're strategic and understand who they can get. Ultimately, this is what the mid-majors and smaller, you know, programs that wasn't Power Fives always have had to do. But now we have Power Fives like Alabama saying, okay, listen, we know that Texas has this guy. We can't compete with him. Or Texas A&M is eyeing this guy. We can't compete with him, so let's go out and let's get the second best guy. Let's focus on them. Let's show him more love, and maybe he'll leave some money on the table. But, you know, also what happens is, as a byproduct, now you have athletes that they may stay in school longer, right? Instead of guys leaving out early and saying, you know, because they're making good money. If I got a lot of money sitting here, why would I go out if I'm not 100% sure that I'm ready? If I'm not 100% sure that I'm a top 10, top 5 pick where the real money comes, so now you're going to get now you're going to have college football instead of people, especially basketball, instead of getting people just leaving one and done. They say, you know what, I kind of like being the man on campus. I'm riding around in what I want to drive in. I got, you know, I'm around my friends, and I'm allowed to be a kid a little bit longer. So that might buy time for college football to be able to sell and make more money, because when we get to some of these tournaments, we're going to have rivalries built up because these guys have been in multiple tournaments, not just one and dones, because they want to make sure that they can be a top 5 pick. So they're going to make sure by staying in maybe a year longer than they would if it wasn't money to be made within college.
I think we just became best friends because I was out in LA and hanging out for a college football panel, and we were talking to different sponsors with ESPN about what we think the big storylines are going to be. And after the panel, I was talking to some people at a reception, and somebody I'm very passionate about name, image, likeness, and loving a lot of it. And somebody asked me what the ripple effect is for kids staying in. And I think there's one position particularly that's going to change forever. And we saw it in this year's draft. If you are a running back, knowing that there's a churn and burn mentality to what running backs are asked to do in the NFL, you get a few years on a contract, then they dump you. If you're Breece Hall or you're Kenneth Walker III, and you are in a situation where you're not going to be maybe one of the two or three best backs, but you're not going to be drafted until the third round, or you can sit in school and continue to make $1 million running for the school. Like, you might get to a situation where you are making better money to be the running back at Michigan State than you would be making to be drafted to go play in the pros. And that changes a position that's been devalued in the NFL. It gives these kids an opportunity to make more money while their legs are fresh. Like, and it changes the competitiveness for some of these kids that are on the – if you're on the fence on staying in or going out and you're at a position that may not have the same value, you stay in because you have value as a brand ambassador for the school you play for.
Yeah, and the byproduct of that is – older backs that are approaching 30 is going to have a longer shelf life in the NFL because they don't have an influx of young talent coming in. So now it's going to create longevity, and now it's going to be more money ultimately because most of these guys only make it to their first, maybe second contract, and it's going to create longevity on both sides. So it's a byproduct that works for both places. And you think about it, right, especially if I'm a Heisman Trophy winner as a running back, the type of hits that I'm taking because the game and the field is so spread out in college is not the same as this, you know, crowd of dust and big hitters and grown men. So now I get to make maybe, say I get a $5 million NIL deal for 2 years, $10 million. That's more than what I make when I get my real contract. When you think about the average salary of an NFL running back, you know, if you factor in if you factor in the franchise tag for running backs, probably like $8 million.
I mean, and
you're making five, you're getting hit by some dude that's going to be pumping gas two years from now.
Look, I'm looking at this from my fan eyes for a second. Like, Josh Jacobs has been a very effective back when healthy, but the Raiders went out in the draft this year and they addressed to the running back position because they're going to go running back by committee. They're basically going to put themselves in. They didn't pick up Jacobs' fifth year option. That gives them the ability to just constantly every two or three years, they'll just bring in another running back by committee option. So if you're a running back and you can stay in college, that helps so many different layers of this. And it's one of the I think extra issues. Yeah, they're gonna be Arch Manning situations where guys are gonna come in from day one.
Tough
and make
Arch
a,
Manning,
though.
You're gonna have to be worth your weight in gold. If somebody's giving you that big deal and now you're trying to compete on a team like Texas that doesn't have the complete rosters of Georgia, Alabama, because they've been successful in doing this for a little bit longer than you, man, if you fall short.
Yeah, there's going to be a heckle.
There's going to be a high level of anxiety for guys who come in that's going to programs that they're trying to be the savior of.
Yeah, I mean, I think the pressure on Sarkisian, the head coach of Texas, the pressure on Arch Manning, the pressure on everybody around the University of Texas as they go into the SEC was already going to be high. It is now astronomical because you have the biggest name we've seen in years coming into college football. There will be expectations to win national championships. In the meantime, speaking of expectations, draft night in the NBA, but that means trade rumors, and there's one that Bart's fired up about that could change his favorite team. We'll tell you about it next.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.